Hey, and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football scores, football news, football highlights,
jerseys,
football jerseys, football phones, whatever, everything football.
Football phones. That's a new one.
I don't know. I just made that up, honestly. Nice. This is the week of September 20th. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Rob Steller.
And we got our guest back again.
Everybody. Yeah, he was just so good last week.
So we got Alex back. So as usual, we're going to start with the scores. Last week we also had Champions League, so we'll do that along with all the league scores. And then we're going to have one topic today. We're going to ask, you know, why aren't the Premier League teams doing as well in Champs League? And, you know, they've been consistently doing poor over the past, I don't know, 5-7 years. So what's going on? So let's get right into it.
So, Champs League, in Group D, Sevilla won, and Man City lost to Juventus 1-2. Like Sean said, we'll be getting into that later. Group C, Benfica and Atletico Madrid win. Group B, we have Wolfsburg and PSV beating Man United. Group A, PSG and Real Madrid win. Group H, we have Lyon drawing and Zenit Saint-Pie winning over Valencia. And Group G, we got Porto drawing and Chelsea winning 4-0. Group F, we have Arsenal losing to Dynamo Zagreb.
Yep, that's it.
And Bayern Munich winning 3-0 over Olympiacos. And then in Group E, we have a Roma-Barcelona draw and a Bayer Leverkusen win. Sorry about that.
So I guess we'll start with the big boys. I think Munich went by. It took them a while to really get those goals in there. But, I mean, they won 3-0. I think we expect them to top the group. Even if they had drawn or something, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. Madrid did well, as usual. 4-0, that wasn't too difficult. And Shakhtar's a decent team, so that was a good win for them. I think Chelsea winning, I mean, it was a terrible team, but I guess, you know, after the season that they're
having. They needed that. They really needed a win. Yeah.
They had a good week.
Yeah, I guess that's positive for them. Barcelona drawing, that was not expected. It was away, and Roma is a good team. And Barca looked better, and admittedly, Roma's goal was absurd. If you haven't seen it, go look it up online and check it out. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. It was a great goal. I'm a little disappointed we didn't score again, but I'm not terribly worried about getting through the group.
Yeah, so. You got Bayer Leverkusen and Bate Borislav. Yeah. I mean,
they're decent teams, but I think either way, and as dumb as it sounds, I think I'm proud of the team we have. So even if we get second, I feel like if we really want to be champions of the Champions League, we got to beat every team. So even if we get second place and we get seeded with somebody harder, I'm cool with that. But then, so those were the big major. Oh, PSG also won, so that was fine. But getting into the unexpected results.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all English clubs.
All English clubs, basically. I guess we can start with Man United. United, you know, they've had a good start to the season, but I don't think they've always looked good.
They've gotten really fortunate with some of their, like, even on poor performances. At the end of the day, though, this is a lot of what usually separates champions, is that they get wins. They grind out for wins that even when they play poorly, they still get that 1-0 result.
Except when they're always playing poorly, and then you wonder, how is this happening?
Right.
I mean, clearly, you know, when you lose to PSV, I think the point is, I don't think Premier League teams are ready to play Dutch teams. I mean, the Dutch league is just that much stronger. I don't know. They can't
say
that.
There are a number of good teams going on in the Dutch league. A lot of them are feeder clubs, too. So a lot of the players who do play for Ajax, PSV, you know, end up going to bigger clubs anyway.
Yeah, and that could end up being a tough pool for Man United with Wolfsburg also in there.
Yeah, they are a solid team. We'll get into it a little bit more later, but United, I mean, I guess it's not must win because this is not an impossible group, but it still feels like, I mean, as a team, this is Man United.
No, United has to get out of the group, though. Like, not getting out of the group would be a big failure for them. Absolutely. Especially, you know, not having the easiest group, but by far not having the hardest one.
And, I mean, clearly they have some work to do. And Champs League, I mean, it's been a while since they've really challenged in the Champs League. I can't imagine them getting that far with the team they currently have, but still, like you said, getting on the group, I mean, we got to see what happens. So then we'll move over to, I guess, Arsenal. Oh, man, Arsenal losing, not exactly expected. I feel like they've had a pretty decent start to the season. They look pretty good offensively. I mean, they've had ups and downs, and we'll talk about this weekend later. But them losing out, I did not see that coming. And it's something that Arsenal is consistently in the Champions League, and they consistently go out in, you know, the quarters or they're what, round of 16?
Yeah.
So I mean, they'll probably make it out of the group, but we don't know. I mean, this is actually a pretty tough group. I mean, the other two teams, I think it's Munich and
Olympiacos.
Yeah. Olympiacos.
Yeah. So. Olympiacos looked good. I mean, they lost 3-0, they had Bayern at 1-0 until the 89th minute. Yeah, right. So that score isn't really telling of the game.
And one thing Munich has is offensive firepower.
Correct.
I mean, there's something to hold them back is a pretty big deal. I don't know. What do you guys think in this group? I think this is one of those groups that's up in the air. I mean, Munich, okay, they're going through. put that right there. So who do you think is going to go in after them? Olympiacos, Arsenal?
You know, I actually think Olympiacos is going to sneak in, mainly because I think Arsenal wants more time to prepare for the FA Cup. but also, I don't know. I was just impressed with their play versus Olympiacos, and like we were going to talk about earlier, the Premier League is just so taxing on all those English teams, and Olympiacos kind of, you know, has just so much easier league play. So I think that's going to be kind of the telltale. And Arsenal just really didn't impress me. There was just a lot of mental collapse, especially by Giroud.
Yeah, let's talk about that red card. Well, I guess it was two yellows.
Two yellows, but it might as well have been the red because it was all because one stupid play in the second half where he gets beat and frustrated probably by the score and just throws a leg up for no reason, really, and gets the second red. And honestly, I think that lost them the game. They had some good chances to score, and I think if they have the 11th player, their big man up front, they're going to win that game.
Yeah, those are the two things. I mean, they needed to score, and losing, the big man up front. I mean, he's not a new player. This guy has been playing for years in league. Oh, he's playing
And that's why it was so surprising. It came as a shock to me, and yeah.
You got to keep your head. You got to keep your head straight, and you can't. I don't actually know what led him to react that way, but I mean, either way, it's unacceptable. And I don't know. I mean,
they were down 2-0, 1-0 at the point. But either way, you have to think you have against Dynamo Zagreb, you have to think you have a chance of getting back in the game with the team you have. And he really just let his team down. And it was, I don't know. We'll see how that pool turns out. But I'm kind of feeling it for Olympiacos right now.
No, I actually don't remember.
Yeah, no, that's all. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal didn't end up going through this group.
Which, I mean, yeah, in a way, it's a good thing. I guess they can focus on the league because I really don't think they can get that far in Champs League. But it's still a huge. I mean, I feel like if I were a gunner, like this is just one of those things. You're just like, we have a strong team. Like they have a pretty decent squad, and at least I feel like they have a few scorers that can score in Zagreb. But I don't remember. Was this at home, or do you know where this was?
I do not know where it was.
Either way, though.
It was not at home. It was at Maximur Stadium.
Okay. So at least whatever.
Oh, no, that's not correct. That was the last time Wolcott scored.
but either way, I mean, they really need to improve. I mean, they scored in the 80th minute. Granted, the red card was most of the game, so you could, you know, there's that asterisk, but still not a good thing.
Yep.
And then
Man City.
Yeah, the final. I mean, this was a big game, and I think I will say one thing. I think people underestimate Juventus, partially because they've been doing so poorly in the league. But I think, City losing.
Yeah, wasn't that Juventus's first win?
Yes.
It
was also City's first loss of the year.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the first time they didn't win a game,
Yeah, probably. I mean, they didn't draw.
They were 5-0.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's the first time they've given up a goal.
It may have been.
I'm pretty sure they were scoreless. Right. They had. I mean, they gave up like five this week, but I'm pretty sure this was their first week conceding a goal.
Which, I mean,
we can look that up and get back to you.
And this was at home. Juventus. I mean, they still have a solid squad. I think we can all agree Juventus is underperforming right now. It's not like this is how they are, but.
Well, it's interesting because Juve ended up winning in the league after this, and City ended up losing in the league after this game. So,
spoiler alert.
So I was big for both teams, I think.
Yeah, it seems like Man City's got a case of the goal-scoring blues right now. They just can't seem to... they won 2-1. They lost 1-2, and I'm pretty sure the one goal they got was an own goal. So I was just surprising. I mean, with all the players they have up top, Sterling is having trouble transitioning into his role there, it seems. Yeah. But you would think they would have more success finding the back of the net. And I think they will over time. It's just, you know, first Champions League game. A really tough opponent and one of the still best goalkeepers in the world in Buffon, who played another phenomenal game.
I mean, I definitely agree. It's a solid team. It's not an easy game to play. But this is another time where, I mean, I think there are two teams, I would say, that need to step it up. And it's PSG and Man City. When I say step it up, I mean in the Champs League. PSG had a pretty solid win last year against Chelsea. I mean, they were early favorites for Champs League, so that was a big win for them, but still, they're not getting that far in Champs League. Mm-hmm. City has just, I mean, considering their squad, I do not understand how they are not getting further in Champs League. Granted, I mean, this is just the first game. I mean, they're more than likely going to get out of the group, but still, it's like, and it's unfortunate they keep drawing difficult groups, but, you know. They need to progress. They need to show that they're not just a team that can win the Premier League every other year so often. Like, they have to be showing that they can do it on the world stage when they're playing other teams. And I don't know what it'll take for them to get to that stage. I mean, apparently they need more scorers. Apparently Aguero, Sterling, Boney, like, it's just not enough. De Bruyne, like, I don't know. Hopefully we can see them move up a bit. And I think that sums it up for most of the Champs League.
Cool. So let's move over to domestic. So we'll start with French. There were a few big results. Monaco lost to Lorient 2-3. Marseille and Lyon drew 1-1. And Stade de Reims, I think. Drew PSG, which was interesting because PSG, they had one draw previously, but I mean, they were kind of running away early on, and this really halted them.
They had a good result against Malmo, too, so it came kind of a surprise.
So PSG is still top of the table there, but only down to 1 point now. Stade Rennes is 13, Saint-Étienne is 13, Caen is 12. So, I mean, you know, it's tight up on the top now. Granted, obviously, it's early on, but, you know, it makes a difference. There's 4 points that they've dropped already.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on French League soccer here, but I don't see how PSG doesn't win that league.
I think it always comes down to depth. And when you have a team, I mean, clearly they
especially when you're
team.
Playing Champions League and all these other too. Yeah.
So I think, I mean, yeah, it's early still. They've had more draws than I expected, but I don't think there's anybody right now who has a team to really challenge PSG. So let's just assume that they're going
to. All right, so let's move over to Italy. Empoli 2-1 over Udinese. A little bit of a shock. Inter, which played Chievo, which was top of the table going into this week. Inter getting a 1-0 win. Big, big result for them. Roma dropping points to Sassuolo, although Totti did get his 300th goal in the league. Juve getting a much, much needed win against Genoa, 2-0. It's Juve's first win in the league.
What a week for Juve.
Just insane.
They are having a good week. Fiorentina 1-0 over Capri. Milan getting a narrow victory over Palermo. It was a little bit shaky, but 1-3-2. Big result of the weekend, Napoli played Lazio, 5-0 Lazio. And that was their first win of the year, which is a little crazy. So that leaves Inter top of the table with 12 points, Torino with 10, Fiorentina 9, Roma and Sassuolo with 8.
Who predicted any of these things happening?
Crazy. I mean, every league,
Napoli getting ridiculous. A win this late, Juve getting a win this late, Inter being top of the table, Torino being number 2.
Yep.
Like, could you ever predict any? I mean, yes, it's still early, but the table's starting to take some shape.
But I mean, even though we're 4 points in, Juve is 8 points back from Inter right now.
It's insane.
Like, that's crazy.
I mean, Inter did bulk up a bit in the summer window. They had some good signings, but still, it almost feels more like the big teams, like the Napolis, the Romas, the Juves, you know, they're all doing a little more poorly right now rather than Inter doing super, super well. But
Inter's 4-0. I know.
I can't take that away from them, I guess. It feels like some big guns are misfiring. I mean, we'll see how it happens in the next coming weeks. I mean, do you know when Juve plays Inter?
Not sure. No, I think it's a little bit later on though.
Okay, so that'll be interesting to watch for. But Serie A definitely up in the air. So then we'll move over to the German league.
What's that league called?
The Bundesliga. Oktoberfest is coming up.
I think it is. It started.
Did it start today?
Yeah, I believe it did start. Judging
Are we drinking
by
water?
My this German is nuts. Friends on Facebook. Just so everyone is clear, Sean is wearing a Leverkusen at this point.
It's kind of more as we expected. Dortmund won again. They won 3-0. I mean, they're just proving
they're
more.
On fire.
Yeah, love it.
And the cool thing is they're spreading out their goals completely. I think three different goal scorers scored this time. I think it was Aubameyang, Kagawa. I forgot who scored the first goal, but they're really spreading it out. They look great. I should also mention Munich also won, so they're tied top of the table, but Dortmund has a better goal difference, so they're technically number one. But clearly, title race is on. There's no doubt about that.
That might actually be the best race, I think, in the top leagues this year.
It could be. I mean, they're just fun to watch. But the thing is, I'm semi an automatic Munich fan because Pep is there, but I kind of want to be a Dortmund fan.
You
got to
root for Dortmund, man.
Yeah, I think
Dortmund and Bayern obviously both have 5-0 starts, 15 and 13 goal differentials, though. Ridiculous.
They both look really good. Wolfsburg also won. They're in third. They're not too far behind. They're a solid team. Yeah. I mean, even after losing to Bruyne, they seem like they're doing okay, but it'll be interesting to watch. I think they're clearly separating. So and honestly, I forgot to mention that Dortmund's win was versus Leverkusen, which Leverkusen
I was going to say, yeah, that 3-0 too, a pretty commanding win.
Exactly. So this is a team that can beat pretty much everybody. I mean, I haven't looked. I don't know when Dortmund plays Munich, but that's going to be a huge game. So then shifting over to La Liga, we had most results as expected. Madrid won. It was actually a tougher win than expected. They played Granada and it was 1-0 at home. They still had a ton of shots, even on target, but still only winning 1-0. But whatever, they won. That's all that matters. Atleti won 2-0. So that was a solid win for them. Seville lost. They are now the bottom, the absolute
That's
bottom.
Ridiculous.
Not they're at the drop zone. They are absolute bottom. And for those who don't know, Seville won Europa last year. They're a really good team. They've been winning. They won their first game in champs. I mean, I don't know what that means, but they are a team that they should be top five, and now they're 20th. So I don't know what's happening with that. Barca won 4-1. It was a tighter game at the beginning than you would expect, but honestly, once the goals started coming, Bartra opened it up, and then they just came out. There's a PK that Messi scored, and then Messi scored another later, and I believe Neymar was the other goal. He kind of bounced it around, but the one goal against us was just a terrible mistake by Ter Stegen. Basically, it was a cross coming in. He went out to punch it. He totally missed it, and then you have an open net. You just kick it in, and it kind of shows that he's a good keeper, but he's still young. I mean, I'm hoping he's like a De Gea, because De Gea had a lot of trouble in the beginning. When Ferguson bought him, people were like, who is this guy? Is he any good? And he did pretty poorly his first season, but he kept faith, and now he's what he is. So hopefully Ter Stegen turns out to be a lot better. But yeah, that was a good win. So now we are still top of the table. We have 4 wins out of 4, I believe. So that's looking good, even though we've had a lot of injuries. So I'm happy with that.
Cool. So we have one league to go. Let's move over to the Premier League. There were a bunch of good. I know I keep saying that like there's been a bunch of interesting results every week, but it really like every week throws up these crazy games, right? So I think the big one right off the bat, Chelsea Arsenal, big game going into this. You know, very down and out Chelsea playing against Arsenal.
Who do you think needed it more?
Chelsea, absolutely. Mourinho absolutely needed a win.
Yeah, we talked about the Juventus being 8 points back on Inter. And is that more surprising than Chelsea being 8 points back on Man City right now?
I know.
Chelsea. Now, this is, let's make it clear, this is post an Arsenal win.
It's
they are at 7 points on the table right now. Man City is sitting at 15.
They're tied with Bournemouth, and they're losing on goal difference to Bournemouth. That, I mean, admittedly, they've already played City and Arsenal. Those are big games, but come on. Like, that's not what I'll expect.
I mean, there are plenty of talking points. I think, you know, the big one being Diego Costa being just a punk, man. I cannot stand him. Like,
that's how he plays.
You know, you say that, though, but it's just like, it's just not, it's not good soccer, though. It's not, you know, it's not good playing. It's not skill. It's just, you know, being a punk and riling up other players and getting them to attack you and then being like just complaining about stuff.
And that's, and so two things. I mean, not that I'm advocating this. This is the thing that not having instant replay allows this stuff to happen. I'm not saying they should have instant replay, but because what always happens is Diego Costa does something and whoever reacts, I mean, this is every sport, never mind just football, but whoever reacts always gets in trouble. And that's what happened. And that's why actually Diego Costa ended up getting reprimanded after the game. So he's getting a punishment because
I mean, he
clearly
slapped the hell out of
Koscielny. It was like terrible.
He slapped him like two or three times in the face. Props to Koscielny for not reacting much. And then he, you know, he kind of like stood up to Costa and then Costa like chest bumped him, which caused Koscielny to fall down. Like,
it was all so ridiculous.
But then Gabriel comes over and then, you know, he starts talking and then, just like walking backwards, just kicks him right after getting carded and knowing that the ref is right there. Like, it kind of shows how immature of a player he is right now.
These guys kind of have it out for each other. Yeah. And it all starts, I think, with Mourinho and Wenger. Aston Wenger
You think about all
They shook
that.
Hands before the game. Did I don't they? Know if you saw that. Yeah. Like a really little thing. I think Wenger was like trying to get around him, and Mourinho just like stood in front of the tunnel waiting for him to come out.
Mourinho has been like the like big brother bully of the group, I feel like, a little bit, though. I'm just looking it up now. Mourinho called in February Wenger a specialist in failure. His words to describe.
That's pretty big.
And I think that sums it up a little bit.
And we talk about this, like, you know, Arsene, you know, he's up and down, but people respect him. He is the like the longest manager in currently in the Premier League. He's a respectable guy. To say that, I mean, only Mourinho could say
something. No, absolutely. I mean, as a Liverpool fan,
who has more trophies?
Exactly. And then, I mean, you think back. So the thing with Costa, I mean, he plays like that. And I think also you have to include Mourinho, because I think Mourinho, when you buy a player like that, you know what comes with it. And I think Mourinho, he might not say to him, do this exactly, but he knows what he does, and he knows that's what you have to do to win that as a striker. I mean, especially because Costa is such a big guy. He can be extremely aggressive, intimidating, and he can just cause problems. But
so other results, West Brom getting 1-0 victory over Villa. Swansea and Everton drawing. They're tied and they're at 5th and 6th, right?
Swansea is 6th and
6th and 7th. So that was a big result for both of those teams. I mean, they were both looking for a win to kind of jump ahead. But both getting, you know, not being able to score. Bournemouth getting a 2-0 result over Sunderland. Bournemouth, Richie, I showed you guys this before the game. Richie had one of the best goals, easily
up online.
One of the top 10 goals of the year. I think by the end of the season, you know, just takes it off the chest and then left foot volleys it right into the top corner. Unreal.
Yeah, it was complete. I mean, the keeper had no chance.
So Watford getting a result over Newcastle. Man, Newcastle is just down and out. Cannot get a win this year. Another big upset. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. West Ham denting Man City's armor. You're right. So those were the first goals, well, in the league, scored against City this year.
And that's what I thought. Yeah.
So City's first slip up. First loss, obviously, this season. And West Ham, man, looks good.
Yes, I really like Sakho.
Yeah.
Guess look who good.
Has him on his fantasy team.
He's
look. Look at who they played so far. They're only six games in. West Ham's already beat Arsenal, Liverpool, and City.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And they smacked us around 3-0 at home.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not to say our defense is any sort of respectable at this point, but
impressive result. If West Ham can get the results against the smaller clubs, they're going to be battling towards the top of the table, I think, for a Champions League spot.
Yeah, and that's a tough place to go ahead and play, too. Their fans are crazy. So, you like to see it.
So we all agree, West Ham.
West Ham, the Premier League title.
I think they're the ones to beat.
There's no one else to...
Another big result, Leicester... drawing against Stoke City. I know I say it's big just because Leicester has somehow managed to win games, even if they're just down two goals. Last week, they came back from 2-0 and won 3-2. This time, they battled back again pretty late on and got the 2-2 result with Stoke to get another point, and they're sitting in fourth right now.
Yeah, and they were about 5 feet from a James Vardy strike away from winning that in the 94th minute. Again, I don't know if you guys watched the highlights of that game, but...
No, also, I lost that game.
What do you think the combined sale for Vardy and Mahrez is year?
Oh God, yeah. I'd be pretty surprised if one or both of them didn't leave midseason.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I think Mahrez is
going to go.
Yeah.
He's going to go. I see Chelsea somebody picking him up pretty quickly. Let's see. Tottenham 1-0 over Crystal Palace. United barely getting through over Southampton. Honestly, Man United's defense, I think that's what it comes down to.
Really
sloppy. The other big thing, Martial getting a brace in this game has looked unbelievable since starting.
And that could be key because the other two strikers, who I guess one and a half being Rooney. And
Rooney hasn't scored for like over a dozen games.
I think he's got to be their guy now, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. Teenager, 19, yeah. But... that kind of shows you where they have to go. And then on the other side of the field, I mean, you have De Gea just playing. I mean, people were all wondering,
they should have drew that game. And De Gea
had two or three huge saves.
And admittedly, I mean, the other goal went in, but he saved it the first shot. Yeah. I mean,
And there were no defenders. Neither of the center backs. There were two players there ready to pounce on that goal and no defenders around them.
It's like they don't want it, though. That's the difference. Like, all you have to do is move, mark somebody, kick it out, just something. But the good thing for that is De Gea being on point. I mean, if they can just improve their defense a bit, they can. I mean, if you can just clear the when the ball comes off of De Gea's hands, then maybe, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you look at a lot of the top clubs, Man U, Chelsea, and Liverpool. I mean, and really the back four, the defense has been what's really been letting them down.
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea has got a -3 goal differential and it's just surprising with goalies like De Gea and Peter Cech that these teams are letting this many goals in. And it's not, not to the goalkeeper's fault.
Well, I mean, I guess you could argue since Courtois is out for Chelsea, Begovic, but that wasn't their problem.
And that's right.
Admittedly, there weren't any goals.
Peter Cech, I meant Courtois. I'm sorry. we were just looking up that 2011 Champions League game.
The other big result, Liverpool 1-1 to Norwich.
Yeah. I mean, not much to say. It was a better showing than the Man United game, which was exciting. But also, Coutinho back.
Yeah, that just
Sturridge helps. First game back at home.
Oh, I didn't know Sturridge played.
Yeah, he started up front with Benteke. That was the biggest disappointment for me. They really just didn't look good together. I think Sturridge really had trouble. He looked in shape, which was good, but his touch was just really heavy-footed, and Benteke did not seem to have it figured out. They haven't been practicing long together, so that might be part of it. But the one goal we got was when Danny Ings came on early in the second half for an injured. Yeah, Danny Ings actually looked great, and that's kind of been the story. Is he going to be – I still think you go with Benteke and Sturridge, but that could be really helpful knowing not only knowing especially Sturridge's health track.
Sure.
So it's nice to have him coming in. But again, just really just – frustrating and kind of sloppy play from the back four. We sat Lovren this game, which I was happy to see, even though I don't think that's the answer for the season. I was happy to see Rodgers actually at least make a change with the way they've been playing the back four. Sakho came in for him, and they played better. I mean, but the Norwich's goal was on a corner. A great finish. I can't remember who the man that scored it, but it was a really controlled and great finish. But corner ball goes in. Mignolet has a sloppy clear, and then this guy gets a touch and flicks onto the back corner and no one is there. That's like rec basic league. Yeah, yeah, you do not leave the back corner until the ball is out of the box. Yeah. And it's just like, again, just really, really sloppy stuff from Liverpool defense. And we have an offense right now that's still trying to find its way. And, you know, we're not going to be getting those 3 points until the deep back four figures out. So better, but 1-1 draw at home versus Norwich is not the result we needed.
And I think the tough thing too is when you're getting these poor results, I mean, Rodgers, I don't think is doing that great as a coach, but you need some kind of leaders, and losing Gerrard, like, you need somebody who can say to the team, yeah, we're not doing well, we need to pick it up.
Yeah. And to be fair, Henderson is still out and he is that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I was hoping, you would think Sturridge coming into this game would be amped. And I was just watching the highlights with Rob. He had some good opportunities and kind of just threw him on net a little haphazardly and didn't take the time and didn't show, even after missing him, didn't really show the energy to get his team back in it.
I mean,
so
Liverpool has 4 goals in 6 games.
Yeah,
I think that sums up a lot of it right there.
Yeah, I think Sean, you're right. I think when Henderson gets back, that you will see the energy pick up a little bit, but right now they need something because it is not coming in. A 1-1 draw versus Norwich is not the result we needed.
And I think we're all Sturridge fans here, so hopefully if he can come back,
I want to see him play well.
Yeah. I mean, he was with Suarez; it was unbelievable. Yeah. And
52 goals between the two of them that year. So I think with him and Benteke could, they will never be like that. But I think him and Benteke could have a lot of success. But they did not look great this weekend.
All right, so that leaves City at the top of the table still with 15 points, but lead cut down to 2, and United is now catching up on them. United with 13, West Ham with 12, Leicester City with 12, Arsenal with 10, and then you have Stoke, Newcastle, and Sunderland all without a win so far. So we do have midweek games this week. Capital One Cup's going on. The big clash is definitely Tottenham-Arsenal. We'll see who actually ends up playing in that.
Yeah.
And then Munich and Wolfsburg play midweek also, which should be a pretty big game. Looking forward to next weekend. Tottenham takes on Man City. So City will definitely be looking to get back into their winning ways. Leicester versus Arsenal. That is going to be a good game. 4v5. I think that's going to be the game to watch this weekend. And
Did anyone think that was going to be a big game?
No. I know.
I think this is the first time a Leicester win will be beneficial for Liverpool. A Leicester loss, I'm sorry, will be beneficial. They are 2 points up on Arsenal right now. And you know what? Even though it is not great for Liverpool, they have my full support.
And then we also have Napoli against Juve, both teams getting their first win this weekend. Napoli coming off that big 5-0 win. So those will be two teams looking to continue that success. And that'll do it.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll catch you guys after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Hey, and welcome back. We'll get the second half started. So today's topic, we want to talk about Champions League, specifically in regards to Premier League teams and why they're still struggling. So this Champions League week, only one team won out of Arsenal, Man United, Man City, and Chelsea. I mean, these are top four teams. These aren't just, they happen to get in to Champs League because of a fortunate Premier League season last year. These are top teams, and they're not doing well. And not only that, I mean, the last time that the Premier League had a team that won the Champs League was Chelsea. And
that was freak. That was such a freak win.
I mean, come on, Munich at the Allianz, and they still lost. Who knows how that happened? I don't even know how they got that far.
So 2012.
Yeah, 2012, and before that, the last team to win it before that would be
United, 2008. And United, then before that was Liverpool 2005.
And that was, I think the Liverpool 2005 is really the only time that that team deserved to win that game.
Yeah, but to be fair, I don't want to start this, but to be fair, also, Liverpool was in the finals in 7 as well. So, I mean, they had a decent team.
Well, okay, let's put it another way. In 7 years, one team has made it, has won Champions League. They've had the finals, but only one.
Well, yeah.
Well, I guess
two. I think it was 08-09,
Yeah. So, but the thing is, we're looking at, I mean, the Premier League is constantly touted as the best league in the world or the most competitive, whatever words you want to use. And lately, to me, it's not just that, oh, they did poorly this weekend, because who knows, they could all turn it around. But consistently, like you even look at last year, Chelsea was an early front runner for winning Champions League. They ended up getting taken out by PSG, a PSG who's a solid side, but they were down to 10 men. And they went to extra time, so that means you're even more fatigued, and they still ended up drawing the game, which was enough to go through. I mean, what is going on? Like, what do they need to get back into the Champions League, and why? I mean, if they legitimately are the best league in the world,
So there's the other side to this is that I think Spain and Germany have also had just ridiculously good teams in the last 10 years or so.
We've had a better team than
between Madrid, Atleti, Barcelona, and Bayern, I mean, you just, and Dortmund too, I guess, for a couple of years. Like, you know, those two leagues, I think, clearly dominated Europe.
Yeah, basically. But the thing is, you know, you say that, I would say Munich, Madrid, and Barca you can put in the category of they've got a lot of money. I mean, we just happen to have Messi and all our best players and then Ronaldo and things like that. But, I mean, Atleti and Dortmund built themselves.
Yeah.
So teams like Chelsea, teams like United, they're spending tons of money. City, these guys, they're not, like, sitting back. They've been constantly buying. So what is it? And one argument that keeps being put up is the obvious one is the Premier League is faster and it's more aggressive. And because of that, a lot of players are more tired. They're either week in, week out, they're playing not necessarily more difficult teams, but they're having more difficult games. That's the argument. So like it goes to the end of the wire. I think there is one thing also and this is for later in Champs League, but they go through the winter essentially. They keep playing, whereas most leagues have a decent break. Mm-hmm. And I think that leads to some fatigue.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to chime in. I mean, I have thoughts on this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think recently, at least, it seems like the Premier League teams, I think Rob was talking about earlier, they struggle sometimes to just find ways to get the 3 points, no matter whatever it may be. And it's surprising because you look at a lot of the teams, they seem like they have some top scorers. But looking at, you know, like we were saying, Madrid, Barcelona, even Munich, they have guys, I think they have people in their front that have been much better at getting goals and finding ways to get their team points when they are down, or just finding any just ways really to get that point, generally get that 3 points. The Premier League teams, I mean, looking at this week's results particularly, just kind of they go down and then they've just struggled to get. I think they just get frustrated and they struggle and can't find ways to really get the 3 points. And it is surprising. I don't know if I have the answer. I think I don't want to say it's just fatigue, because I think you look at those, especially looking at this week. I mean, we're early on. It was first week of Champs League, and you look at these other leagues, and you know the Premier League is deep, but it's not to a point where they are just playing of the other leagues.
I don't like the busy schedule argument either. I mean, people say, oh, you know, they have two domestic cups in England that they're playing against, but like you look at teams who won. I mean, the Barcelona team that won, I think, had like close to 100 games in one season, like something ridiculous.
We never stopped playing, because
you had, you know, all these other extra tournaments that you played in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think that's an excuse for anybody to say, you know, oh, we had too many games or we had too busy of a schedule.
I heard something that I liked. The problem with that argument ends up being, you know, when the Premier League is winning, it's because it's the best league in the world. When the Premier League is losing, it's because it's the best league in the world. And it's just completely contradictory. And, you know, I will totally agree. It is a more aggressive league and you can get away with bigger fouls. But because of that, I mean, you have to adjust. And that's not the thing. I think one thing, the Premier League is fast, but because of that, they lose some, tactical advantages, or they're less tactical, and because of that there's a lot less possession play. So teams that are smart, I mean, they can just get around them. Like, for example, one thing we sometimes like aggressive teams, because if we just play around them, we're going to tire them out, and then we being Barcelona, if you haven't noticed. So so things like that, not every team is just going to go straight at you. And if you don't have that footballing IQ where you are looking to, you know, really play around a team and understand what they're doing rather than just running at them and trying to score, especially when you don't have the top goal scorers in the world. When you look at the top people, I mean, I would even put PSG above most of these teams. I mean, there are very few guys that you would really put super high up there.
But so, I mean, just looking back at the last two Champs Leagues, for example, right? I mean, last year you didn't have one English team get to the quarterfinals.
Wow. Yeah.
And then three of the four teams in the semifinals were Spanish or German, right? The year before that, Chelsea did end up getting to the semis. But, you know, again, three out of four of the teams are Spanish and German.
Yep.
And the finalists are Spanish and German.
Yeah. And it doesn't even carry over to that. I mean, humble brag, but you go over to Europa and Spanish teams are dominating Europa too. I mean, I think the last English team to win Champs or Europa was also Chelsea. But when you're a team like Chelsea, Europa, I mean, you don't even want to be in it. So you can't really be proud of that. So you would hope that even like the Tottenhams, the Evertons, they're at least taking over Europa because you're playing with some minnows.
I mean, this is going back to, I think, the 50s. But so Spain has 15 cups, European cups. Italy has 12. England also has 12. But a lot of those were coming from farther back. I mean, you're talking about Nottingham Forest, you know, getting their back-to-back wins in 79 and 80. You're talking about Aston Villa before that. I mean, you're talking, you know, a pretty substantially long time ago. It's interesting because Germany actually only has 7.
Huh.
But a lot of those are recent.
Yeah, and I think that that's owed to the fact that, I mean, when you look at the leagues, how many really strong teams are there? The Bundesliga has gone up and down.
Bayern has 5 of the 7.
Yeah, exactly. So you really have Munich. Dortmund, unfortunately, hasn't really gotten any. You have other teams like Mönchengladbach and other teams that used to be better, but right now, I mean, it's really only Munich, whereas at least in La Liga, we can spread it amongst two teams.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. England and the Premier League and the coefficients for how they score and determine teams that get into the Champions League are now less than 4 points ahead of Italy.
Yeah. Actually, so that was my next point.
So how close are they to losing that fourth spot?
Very close, especially because Italy did really well in Europa last year.
Yeah.
They made up a lot of points.
And Juve went to the finals.
And building on what Rob said earlier, they haven't... I mean, they've had, I think, what, it was one semifinal and two quarters in the last 3 years. And in the past two, they haven't had a team get past the round of 16.
Chelsea, 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, either way, clearly, like, these are stats that almost defy, like, I mean, it's absurd how poorly they're doing. And even the teams that get there, they don't look very good. When you see the big boys play against them, they just get outclassed consistently. And I mean, maybe a game or two here or there, and some of the score lines are a little flattering, but I mean, it doesn't look like they're in the same league. When you really look at it, these should be solid teams that are at least playing.
Although, to be fair, PSG is also in that same, like, weird, how do they not get farther in the tournament?
And but, you know, even PSG, I feel like, I mean, they got knocked out by us last year, and we ended up winning it, so that's kind of a tough break. And I forgot who they lost to the year before. I think they lost to Madrid, but I could be wrong. No, they have Madrid this year. PSG falls into that, too. But I guess I only harp on this, not to attack English teams, but because we always talk about how strong
they lost to Chelsea the year before, funny enough.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They came back. I do remember that. Two late goals and then a late goal. But either way, I mean, yeah, PSG needs to make that next step. But it's just the Premier League. I mean, and this is really the only way you can gauge how good a team really is. I mean, sure, winning the Premier League is good.
This is the only way to gauge between leagues who is the strongest league, right?
And right now, I don't know. I even hesitate to put, I mean, where would the Premier League, I mean, in your opinions, where would it sit? I mean, it's got to be ahead of Ligue 1. But, I mean, I can't put it above Germany. Can't put it above La Liga.
As you pointed out, it's right with Italy. Italy's been weak the last 4 or 5 years or so.
But you look at their results this week alone. We got Roma drawing.
Yep. Barca, which a big result.
Valencia had a tough loss, but. Then
every other team in La Liga.
Sevilla wins and Atleti Juventus won. Beats Man City.
So, yeah.
It's... So just based on that, that is not boding well for
and the weird thing,
English soccer fans.
No, I honestly, you know, if it would take another 2 years, I think I sit here and calculate when Italy's going to get that Champions League spot back.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, it'd be a huge deal if England lost that.
Yeah,
that fourth spot and huge deal, and it could totally happen. But you know, I think it's still maybe two more years of poor results and strong results for Italy. But it's the fact that it's a possibility now is really intriguing.
It's crazy,
and it's weird too, because you can say like Milan has had a rough time, because I would argue a lot of it leading to money issues. I mean, they sold off some really good players. And they didn't have the money to buy people back. Inter had some money issues too. I mean, in general, Serie A, one thing was that there was less focus on it. So trying to buy along with the big guys like Barca and Madrid and Munich, just difficult to do. But I mean, the Premier League, they've spent a lot of money. Every season, it's not the Suarez or the Ronaldos, but it's still pretty big players. De Bruyne is a big pickup, and Diego Costa was the top scorer or striker at the time. Fabregas, like, they're not chumps, but they're still not doing.
Can you even say that the Premier League is more competitive than other leagues?
So this will be a topic for another day, but it's weird. Now it is, because most teams are so poor. Because in the Ferguson era.
Yeah, but look at, I mean, if you're only talking about this season, like the early starts right of the now. Season, Italy's the same way, though.
Yeah. And you know, this gets into a whole other argument, is like, do you want a competitive league or do you want some good teams in there? But yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's just a really weird Premier League right now. Is just super weird. The only thing you expect is City. But even then, I think most people didn't expect City.
Let's just go to the Champions League, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. That would be unbelievable. You have a lineup of City, you know, West Ham, Leicester, maybe Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and then Arsenal sneaks in there with the FA Cup.
Yeah, exactly. So, you guys can't predict. Who do you think will go furthest this year, and how far?
Like every year, you look at City being easily the deepest roster in the Premier League, hands down. And every year they bring on two or three more names without losing players.
Exactly.
And you cannot look at that and say they shouldn't be getting to at least the semis, never mind the quarters or something like that.
I agree with Rob. I think it is going to be Man City that makes it the furthest this year.
But they have yet to do it, though.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I think City, I mean, Arsenal and United are still, they're not good enough at this point. Chelsea, who knows what Chelsea is?
I'd want to back Mourinho, because he has a pretty decent Champions League record, but it's
and their squad is decent. They're just playing poorly. It's not like they lost all these amazing players. Right. I mean, they didn't strengthen, but yeah.
I think Arsenal and Man United are in serious trouble of not even making out of their groups. Wolfsburg has looked solid, like we were saying, and Olympiacos is going to be a tough matchup for Arsenal. So it's going to be interesting. We could be seeing 50% of Premier League teams out before.
Yeah. And the other thing to think about, Munich is going to win that group. So even if Arsenal makes it through, they're going to be in second place.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You're
going to
be playing
in
Barcelona. You're going to be playing Madrid.
And what do you do then? So same thing. I don't know where United's going to be, and Chelsea.
Yeah, that pool is up in the air with PSV in Wolfsburg.
But it'll be interesting to watch. I really like Champions League, so it'll be fun to see.
Is it? I wouldn't know, Sean. I haven't been in it in 3 years.
Yeah, I hear you there, Rob.
Okay. That'll do it for this week. That was a fun show. Thanks again, Alex, for coming on. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
So
he's by far the most prepared out of all of us.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we could show you.
He's got all these notes.
Oh, man. I have my phone. That's it. But if you want to check us out, you can find us on iTunes. We're Kiss the Crest. If you could rate and subscribe, leave a comment. If there's anything you want to tell us, you want
how to pronounce names.
Exactly. So whatever you feel like. What kind of football paraphernalia you're interested in that I can talk about in the intro. Just
best videos of
color,
the week.
Yeah. Color vuvuzelas to get.
Oh, man. We need vuvuzelas.
Yeah, we should.
Just to annoy everyone.
Yes.
So you can also check out our podcast on thecommentist.com. And we have a few other podcasts you can check out, like Roll to Hit, a D&D podcast, and The Unwind, one about tech culture, games, and
tech culture. Nice.
Yeah, I know.
Tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. It's okay. Sean doesn't do the intro for that, so I'll give him a pass.
So yeah, check us out on thecommentist.com, and we hope to see you next
also,
week.
Also, I'll be streaming FIFA. FIFA 16 is out. Yeah. I'll be streaming it. Go to The Commentist, search for The Commentist on YouTube, and you can find me. Drop by.
It'll be exciting. Peace. I don't know what to say.